Welcome to Sozo's Podcast, a student ministry of Victory Family Church located in Cranberry Township, PA. We're glad you're here. We meet every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:30. Check us out on Instagram at SozoYTH.
To be fire tonight. That something special is about to happen here at Sozo Ministry. Come on, let's go. Man, isn't it awesome to worship Jesus? I said, isn't it awesome to worship Jesus? So there's a couple theories that I have right now of why I just go all out when it comes to worship. Number one is I used to be an athlete and now I no longer play sports, so I have to get out my rage somehow. So I'm like, why not just worship Jesus? Why not just, instead of going down the Y and doing some cardio, why not have cardio during worship? It's like throwing a stone at two birds. Like, man, I'm going to worship Jesus, hallelujah, and I'm going to get my cardio in tonight so I don't have to go after this. I don't know what my theory is, maybe one of those, but I just love to worship Jesus. And I truly believe that what we're seeing now is nothing short of a miracle. And I get choked up. Because I've seen this picture, guys, 8 months ago. I've been praying for these moments 8 months ago when we're in worship to see a generation lifting up the name of Jesus, the name that saves, the name that only matters at the end of the day. And that's what I love about this ministry. I love where we're going because, man, we're making it a priority to worship Jesus the way he should be worshiped. Seeing you guys worship Jesus, singing out to him, man, it makes me cry on the inside because I wish I was on fire like you guys were at your age. I see a generation. I'm having a Martin Luther King moment. I have these every once in a while. Like I'm about to start dreaming on y'all. I don't know if you're ready for some dreams tonight. I'm about to start dreaming some Martin Luther King. I see a day when black people and white people will come together. I have a vision, man. Listen, I have a vision for you guys. That you guys would be known for making his name famous in all generations. I have a vision that we would not be known as a ministry that just consumes, but a ministry that contributes. I have a vision that one day our schools and our activities are going to have to move around what we do here at church. Instead of activities, us doing whatever activities have to do. So guess what? Wednesday night, we ain't going to see no activities on Wednesday night because we're going to have all the high school ministries from around here. We're going to see sports being canceled on Wednesday nights because guess what? Because they're coming to church. They're coming to have a God encounter. I see some of you guys leading in your schools this year. I see people crying and running to you saying, I need what you have. I see the light that is inside of you, and I want it now. I see a generation that is rising up, that is not fearful, that is not timid, that's saying, you know what? I have the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He did not give you a spirit of fear. He did not give you a spirit of anxiety. He did not give you a spirit of depression. He says, I came to give you life and life abundantly. Amen. So tonight, I want to talk to you guys about the power of. But before I do, I want to say one more thing when it comes to worship. This past Saturday, we were in Maine over there. We sit at the far left corner. And if you guys don't come to that, man, y'all want to come to that. Because, man, we go for it. We go for it. And Pastor John, he's like, man, I love what your teenagers bring to that room. He's like, your teenagers are changing the culture and they don't even know it. They're ushering in the presence of God. They're worshiping him like he's alive. He said, you guys are going to change the culture in the church. But here's one thing. Yeah, amen, amen. But here's one thing that I don't want us to get caught up on. When it comes to worshiping Jesus, it should never be about us. It should always be about him. To give him glory, to give him praise, to give everything that he deserves. So one thing that we do here, and I love, and yes, we're a youth ministry, man, we jump, we have fun, we go for it. But y'all, we go over to Maine and they're kind of a little bit older, not like that much older, but they're not used to that. So one thing that we got to kind of simmer down just a little bit, we can go for worship, but when it comes to like running across the main stretch, we got to chill out on that. But everything else we're game for, all right? And I'm guilty as charged, y'all. I love to worship Jesus. But tonight I want to talk to you guys about the power of. And if you weren't here last week, this message series is designed to help you and I understand that we were created and designed to be in the context of community. See, we looked at this thought last week. You can't get to the wrong place having the right community. And you can't get to the wrong place having the right community. And when it comes to our decision making, a lot of times we decide, okay, where do I want to go to school? What major do I want to pick? What car do I want to buy? We have this thought process that we kind of choose and pick and we select. But what I find is when it comes to choosing our friends, we don't really choose. We care more about being accepted than who's accepting us. And tonight I want to talk to you guys from this thought, the power of family. The power of fam, I-L-Y. I love you. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you love them. I love you. I'm so glad you're here tonight. Now turn to that other person that you neglected who was your second option. Say, you know, fam, I love you too. I love you. I love you. I love you. People need to know that they're loved in this world. We need more love in this world. Can I get an amen? Amen? All right, let's pray, and then we're about to go in this, and then we're going to go into small groups here in a little bit. Father God, I thank you that you are a God who saved, that you are a God who healed, that you are a God that delivered. Here right now, we know that Jesus, you are not here, but you sent your Son, Holy Spirit, to live and to breathe inside of us. Lord, I thank you that we will be who you have called us to be, that we will not let the seeds of destruction come and bear in our life. We will not let the seeds of discouragement come and steal our joy, but we will be a generation that is joyful, that we will be a generation that does what you have called us to do, and that's go into all the world and preach the gospel, the too good to be true news, that you died for us, even in our sin. So Holy Spirit, allow my words to be your words. Encourage us tonight, challenge us tonight, God, as we grow to become all that you have called us to be. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The power of family. The power of fam, I love you. I just like that. Like the power of fam with those semicolons, I love you. You know I love you, right? But here's what I find interesting when it comes to the power of family or the power of community. We choose who we hang out with. If we want to go to the right place, we learned this last week, we have to have the right community. If we want to do all that God has called us to do, we have to have the right people we're hanging out with. And I love what Solomon said to us. He said this in Proverbs. This is the wisest man in the world, the wisest man who ever lived, the wealthiest man who ever lived. He said this in Proverbs. He says, walk with the wise and what? You will become. Wise. Walk with the wise and you will become. Wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. I never met anybody who doesn't want to be wise. I never met anybody who doesn't want to live out their God-given purpose. I never met anybody who says, you know what? I want to do harm. I want to see my life end in destruction. I've never met somebody who got married and said, you know what? I really hope we get a divorce. I've never met somebody that says, you know what? I don't want to succeed in this life. In fact, I want to get laid off about 20 different times, live my life how I want to live it, and it goes down to destruction. I've never met anybody like that. But do you know that the choices that you make will determine the outcome of your life? That's what he's saying right now. He says, walk with the wise and you will become wise. If you hang out with people who love Jesus and say, you know what, I am going to serve him with everything that I have, chances are you're going to say the same thing. In fact, if you would look at your circle or who's at your table right now, it would tell more about who you are. If people at your table, you're looking around, you're saying, man, why is that person always negative? Why is that person always self-centered? Why is that person always critical? Chances are, you are as well. Because you are who you hang with. My youth pastor always told us, he probably preached this message about 100 different times in youth group. He would always say this to me. You are who you hang with. You tell me who your 5 closest friends are, I will tell you where you end up in this life. And it never kind of crossed my mind until now what Solomon was trying to tell these leaders of his day. He says, walk with the wise and you will become wise. I want more wisdom. I want more favor. I want to know God more. I want to develop my gifts that he has given me. I want to reach more people. And you can even look in your circles right now and say, when's the last time somebody actually talked to Jesus who did not know Jesus? I love that one. Because that's what he's called us to do. See, walk with the wise and you will become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. If you're seeing destruction in your life tonight, if you're seeing death in your life tonight, chances just maybe it's because you're surrounding yourself with the wrong people. And I know that can be a harsh statement because some of you guys live in an unhealthy environment at home. And I want to say this, I am truly sorry that you have to go through that. That you have to have a dysfunctional family. But the last time I checked, every single one of us has issues that we're going through. But Solomon's saying, if you want to see God move in your life, hang out with those who God's moving in their life already. And here's what I found true. Some of you guys are probably saying, you know what? I was at the wrong table. We talked about that last night. Or last week, I'm at the wrong table. Some of you guys are saying, I'm actually at the right table, and man, we're killing it for the kingdom of God. And then there's the third type of you that you're saying, you know what? I don't even have a table. And that's why we exist as a ministry, to be a table for you. When you're sitting all alone at lunch, my job as a leader is to make sure that all of us are coming around you and sitting with you. But what I find interesting, there's 3 types of poverty in this world. The first one we know is material poverty, is when people don't have things. They don't have a car, they don't have a house, they don't have clothes. Everybody knows about material poverty. The second one is spiritual poverty. Here's what spiritual poverty is. Going to church once a week, thinking that you're getting fed. What if I would tell you that I'm only going to give you 1 meal a week? Like physical, if I would only give you lunch 1 time a week, you would look at me like I'm crazy. But what I find interesting, guys, and I say this out of respect, I really do. The average attendance of a church is once a month. There's an epidemic. Spiritually, there's an epidemic. We are spiritually impoverished. Here's what spiritual poverty looks like. Religion versus relationship. Spiritual poverty looks like this: religion. I have to. I have to go to church. I have to get in a small group. I have to serve. I have to give. I have to tithe. I have to put myself under somebody. And we have this religiosity mindset, like I have to, I have to, I have to. But what if we changed that and said, man, we get to. I get to serve. I get to tithe. I get to serve the least of these. I get to love on those who nobody else is loving. Here's another thing of spiritual poverty. Is going to church and thinking that's all you have to do. See, Jesus did not come so that we could go to church. Jesus has came so that we could be the church. Right? He didn't die so we can come to church. He came and he died so that we could be the church. That's spiritual poverty. When we start to think, you know what? He died so I could come to church. But here's what I find interesting. A lot of you guys probably never thought of this, but I would say there's some of us in this room that were relational impoverished. And let me give you one thought right now of why I think America is relationally impoverished. And here's one. We preach independence. Our culture is all about being independent. Man, you gotta graduate, you gotta go to school, you gotta make money, you gotta live on your own, you gotta do your own thing, you gotta do your own thing, you have to start your own career, and it's all about being independent. But Jesus did not die so that we could be independent. In fact, it's the antithesis of what he died for. Jesus said, listen, I died so that you could be the body of Christ. I died so that you guys can serve together and make an impact in this world. I died so that my kingdom can come on this earth through you, serving together. But we hear this, man, you got to be independent. How many of you guys ever heard that? I need to be independent. What does the Bible say? Where two or three are gathered, there I am. And I hear it in the church world all the time as well. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And yes, that is true to an extent. But you want to know that something that is much greater than a personal relationship is having a shared relationship. That's what the Bible says, iron sharpens iron. We need one another. When I fall, guess what? You're going to lift me up. When you fall, guess what? I'm going to lift you up. When you're fighting through something right now, guess what? I'm going to fight with you. That's what the church is designed to be. But a lot of us, we would say, man, I don't even have more than two friends in my life. And that's why one thing we do here is about small groups. Having community, having a family where you can do life together. We say this, man, small groups is a place for you to discover freedom for your life. I've never met anybody who would say this, man, I've been discipled in a row. See, discipleship doesn't happen in a row. It happens in a circle. It happens in the context of your small group. That's why we're doing what we're doing, because guess what? When I speak, guess what? You guys used to go home. You guys never had any conversation or dialogue, but change happens in the dialogue. So that's why we're here on Wednesday night, because we need more time to spend with you. That's the most important thing. If you guys would say, what is the most important thing about tonight? You know what the most important thing is? Your small group. Amen. Not me preaching. Not them singing. I mean, it's awesome. They do an incredible job. But I know life change will happen in the dialogue. That's why you see Jesus, he would always speak to the multitude. I'm speaking to the multitude right now. But he had this system in place where he would speak to the multitude. Then he would bring his disciples, his small group, and he would say, hey, let me tell you what it means to eat my flesh and drink of my blood. Well, everybody was just there to see a miracle, sign, and wonder, to get healed and go about their day. He says, guys, come here. Let me explain to you these parables of the seeds. We need each other. We need one another. And as time progressed, this is what I found to be true. What causes relational poverty? I want to give you guys three things. And we're going to break into small groups here in about 10 minutes. The first reason that we see relational poverty is this. It's increased mobility. People are moving all the time. The average person in their 20s through 40s will move once every 3 years. The average American moves once every 5 years. See, it's hard to have long-term commitments when everybody's always moving. They're mobile. The second thing that is causing relational poverty is modern conveniences. Think about this. What did people used to do before the air conditioner? Y'all are spoiled. Listen, I bought a house in New Brighton after I graduated. I did not have the AC unit. I was never at my house because it was too hot and I didn't feel like paying the electric bill. But you know what people used to do when they didn't have an air conditioner? They would sit out on their porch and they would talk to their neighbor. So the air conditioner actually caused people to go inside to watch TV right after work. Think about this. There was no garages before, attached garages. They were detached garages. So people would have to pull into the garage, get out of their car, walk down the curb to their house. And when they were walking down the curb to their house, guess what? Their neighbor was walking down to the curb to their house. So they would have dialogue. They would have interaction. How about this? Amazon. Y'all might not know this, but you couldn't shop on the internet when I was born. You actually had to go to a store to buy clothes. You actually had to go to the store to buy groceries. Now you just got to click one button, and 2 days later, Amazon sends you your groceries. They send you your new outfit. I like this one. Hold on. Come on. I like this one. Where's all my gamers at? Come on, I know we got some gamers in here. If I wanted to see a fight growing up, I had to go watch one of my buddies get in a fight after school. All right? Now, all y'all do is have to hop on the internet and play Call of Duty. All y'all have to do is hop on the internet and play Halo, and you see fighting going on. So you no longer have to have that interaction. So we have garage door openers. We have the AC unit. We have shopping online. We have entertainment that is literally, kids are spending at least 8 hours a day, and I'm making this number up, so don't check it. It sounds right. At least 8 hours, maybe more. So we have modern conveniences, increased mobility. And the last one is this. It's a rise in social media. A rise in social media. One article said that social media is creating an epidemic of deferred loneliness. Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So here's what we do. Whenever we're feeling lonely, we just take out our phone, get on the gram. Come on, let's go Instagram. You're messing up my message here. We get on the gram. Hey, Mom, I love you. So we get on the gram. Let me post that real quick. Sorry. But we get on social media, we get on the gram, and we post the picture. And then before that, we spend 45 minutes adding a caption. Like, I don't know, is people going to like that if I add that caption? Or should I add that filter? Or should I have the kissy face or the non-kissy face? We spend all this time uploading pictures on social media. Like. And it actually psychologically, when we see a like, guess what? It releases an endorphin that says, man, that I need more of that. I need more of that. And before long, we have more Instagram followers than we actually do friends. So when times get tough, we have nobody we can go to because all of our friends are on Instagram. All of our friends are on the Facebook or the mom book. Yeah. I don't know what they call it nowadays. But we trade a like for a conversation. And I'm guilty as well because, man, there's some times where it's much easier to upload something than it is to have a conversation. It's much easier to text than it is to actually have a conversation face to face. So we have modern conveniences. We have a rise of social media, and we have increased mobility. And I want to give you guys one thought as we finish up. And this one thought is this. You may be one family or community away from changing the course of your destiny. You may be one family or community away from changing the course of your destiny. Those who lift you up, those who encourage you and pray for you and have your back, you may be one community away from changing your future families, from changing your future generation, from changing your ability to make a difference in this world. See, I had two families growing up. I had a godly family and I had a family that didn't serve God. And I'm not going into the story of the families that don't serve God because, man, I don't want to go there, okay? Because, yeah, they're funny. Yeah, you know, we can look back and laugh. But when you're in that mess and you're blinded by that mess, man, it's not pretty, the outcome of that life. And I've lived that for over 2.5 years after in the middle of college. But I want to talk to you guys about the family that made an impact on my life. See, I grew up in a very, very small town called Monaca, Beaver County. I grew up in the county. Come on. I grew up in the Beaver County. That's how we talk down there in Beaver County. Down there by the river. I drink that water, that Beaver County water. I got 12 toes, y'all. That Beaver County water. What are you laughing at, Brandon? You got 12 toes too. You're from the county. You too, Jake. I grew up in the county. But here's why I love the county, all right? I love the county because guess what? My family lived in the county. My cousins lived in the county. My aunts lived in the county. My uncles lived in the county. My distant cousins lived in the county. And I grew up where I was literally 2 blocks away from my uncle. Then I was 2 blocks away from my other uncle. Then I was 2 blocks away from my other uncle. 3 out of 4 of my uncles lived in Monaca 2 blocks away. And what I learned growing up was invaluable. Guess who I hung out with? I hung out with my aunt. I hung out with my uncle. I hung out with my mom. I hung out with my dad. I hung out with all my girl cousins. And all my girl cousins would used to dress me up as Bartha and send me down the street knocking on the door with lipstick and some boobs and a nice butt, introducing myself to the neighborhood. I wish I had a picture right now because y'all don't believe me. I grew up playing Barbie dolls, y'all. It wasn't fun. It wasn't fun. But I grew up with family being the core of everything that I do. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Man, we spent time together. We went to church together. We served together. We had swimming parties together. There's times where I was baptizing my cousin down in her basement and her foot got stuck underneath the couch and she thought she broke it and we had to take her to the hospital. There's times where me and my cousin would put pennies into my uncle's CD player in his car and he couldn't listen to anything. There's times where we literally knocked over the Christmas tree. There's times where I knocked over the chandelier and ran home running from my uncle and aunt. But we were family, y'all. We fought together. We loved one another. We were with one another when things were good, when things were bad. When my family was up and when my family was down, when my one uncle was going through divorce, when he wasn't going through divorce, we had each other's back. And what I see now is we don't have each other's back. And more than ever, as followers of Jesus Christ, as the body of Christ, we have to have each other's back. We have to. We live in a culture now when somebody makes a mistake, guess what? We airdrop it to everybody in our schools. We live in a culture now when one of our friends says something that maybe they shouldn't have said or done something they shouldn't have. Guess what? Guess what they used to do? They used to cover them up. They used to hide their sin. Say, you know what? We're not going to let anybody know about this, but guess what? We got your back. We're going to fight for you. We're going to love you. There's a story in the Old Testament about three brothers, and I finish with this. There's a story in the Old Testament about three brothers. You guys know about, what's his name, Moses? Is his name Moses? Who's the guy that had the ship? Noah. Shoot. I'm getting better. I get those mixed up, all right? Don't judge. Why are you all looking at me, judging me? Come on. Man, I thought this was a judge-free church, man. I don't know if I'm welcome after tonight. But this guy named Noah, he got in this boat with all of his family, and the flood came. And after so many days, I don't know how many days, 180 days, the water began to reside. And there was a sign for them to get out of the boat. And after being in the boat for so long, Moses, Noah, whatever, Noah did something he should have done. He got drunk. A man of God being used in a mighty way to save a generation messed up. Y'all know you have flaws too. We all have flawed feet. Some are worse than others. Mine are like hawks. Like, I pick up my dirty clothes just by picking them up, like, with my feet. Flawed feet. But here's what happened. Get this. We're closing right now. There was three brothers of Noah. And they got off this boat, and Noah got drunk. And he was sleeping in a tent, and it said that he was naked. And there's a lot of scholars that think he committed adultery with his wife. Because if you're naked in your tent, who cares, right? So a lot of people think that he had an adultery, and his son walked in on him having sex with another girl. So one of the sons walked in, and instead of covering him up, he went to his brothers and said, hey, you got to check this out. Our dad is naked. That's disgusting, y'all. But he says, our dad's naked. Come check this out. And what the other brothers did is they went, and they didn't see their dad. Here's what they did. They picked up a blanket and carried it to cover his dad up. And I think that's so deep right now. I think it's so deep that there's some of us that are trying to expose one another. There's some of us believers that are looking to start gossip. There's some of us right now that are saying, you know what? Whatever I can do to gain popularity, I'm going to do. And I'm here to tell you, it's time that we cover one another up. If we want to be a generation that runs forward, it's time we walk behind our brothers and say, you know what, you messed up this time, but I got your back. You know what, you screwed up really bad. I can't believe you did that, but guess what? I got your back. We're going to move forward. We're going to fight together. We need a generation that got each other's back. A family. We are a family that I will do anything for you guys. I promise you. I just do not say this. I will do anything for you guys. Anything. You're in a hospital, I'll come visit you. Your life's going through the ringer, I'm there. Or one of my leaders are there. That is why we exist as a ministry. Listen. One of our leaders tonight, I'm not going to name him. He was going through some things before he got here. Guess what's more important to me than this right here? It's taking care of my brother. It's praying with him before service, saying, dude, we're going to get through this together. I know things are tough right now. I know it doesn't look like there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but guess what? We're going to take one step at a time. I'm going to help you when you can't help yourself. I'm going to feed you when you can't feed yourself. I'm going to give you hope when you cannot have hope on your own. That's why we exist as a ministry. And then lastly, man, a sign of a great community is this. We have an open door policy. If you come to my house, you don't even have to knock. I'm telling you, when we have our leaders over, I unlock the door, I sit on the couch, and I watch them ESPN. And when they knock and when they ring the doorbell, I don't get off the couch. Come in! I ain't getting my lazy butt off the couch. Come in! And my leaders know you don't have to knock to come into my house. I might have to knock to come into my dad's house. I go into my dad's house, I type the code in the garage, and I'm in there looking for some things. He comes out, what are you doing here? Who says you can come into my house? You live on your own now, son. Get up now. But a sign of a great community is, man, you have access to their code to get into their house. And you have access to my refrigerator. You can come and drink whatever you want. You can eat whatever you want. Yeah, some of y'all are like, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Well, that's a sign of a great community. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, there's some of you tonight that are saying, you know what, I don't have that kind of community. I don't have that kind of family. My parents are fighting right now. My parents are always arguing. It's like there's never peace in my house. There's some of you guys that are saying right now to yourself, you know what? Nobody wants me to be a part of their family. If they would have known what I've done last night, if they would have known what I did right before I even came into Sozo tonight, man, they would not accept me. Listen, you got to know that you're in a place tonight where we're not here to see through you, but to see you through. We're not here to watch you get beat up. We're here to fight with you. When your arms get tired, we're here to lift your arms up. Because we are family. We are a community that will fight life together. We are a community that will cover one another up. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight and you're saying, I never made Jesus the Lord of my life, I want to give you an opportunity right now to do so. With every head bowed and eyes closed, you're saying, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I want you to simply raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. I see that hand. 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 Hands are going up. Be bold. How many of you are saying, man, I see that hand in the back. I see that hand right there. I see that hand right there. We have hands going up. And as a family, there's one thing we always do. We pray together, because a family that prays together stays together. So I want us to repeat this simple prayer after me. Jesus said he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You can go ahead and put your hands down. Everybody repeat this simple prayer after me. Say, dear Father God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that I need your grace. Here right now, Lord, forgive me. Wash me white as snow. I am all yours. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give it up for those people. Come on. Let's make some more praise than that. Come on. We love you guys. You are family. You are family. And we have a couple announcements real quick, and then we're going to break into our small group. So.